Good morning. Today's scripture lesson comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned and beautiful, stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and intersections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or even contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." It's the word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we have heard your words, the words of Jesus. They were not popular in their day, but Lord, we hear them again. And we ask that you give us guidance as we meditate upon them, as we consider where they intersect with our lives, maybe even where they interfere with our lives, and help my words be your words, my thoughts be your thoughts. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, last week we welcomed a new member into our family. We adopted a kitten. She's 6 months old, Ozma. And I mention her because she tried to help me write this sermon. She wanted to be on the computer, on the laptop. So she was very involved in this process. But it also reminded me that, you know, when something new happens, it's not always comfortable. Right, and so, you know, the dog wanted to greet her, and she didn't want to be greeted by the dog, and the other cat wasn't too sure about her. They weren't too sure about each other, but things are settling down, and it's good because our 15-year-old cat, I think, has been a little lonely since our 19-something-year-old cat passed away. And so Boots, our 15-year-old cat, would express that by yowling at 2 o'clock in the morning, or 3 o'clock in the morning, or 4 o'clock in the morning. And now that Ozma is here, she's stopped doing that. So change can be hard, but we work into it, and we see the good that comes out of that. And I mention that because the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples were not popular words about these stones being taken. They were all going to be not one laid upon another. And I'm going to talk about three buildings. The first one is Wayfarers Chapel in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. The second is the Temple in Jerusalem. And the third are the Twin Towers in New York City. So in where I grew up in Rancho Palos Verdes, there's this chapel. And the chapel is on this bluff that overlooks the Pacific Ocean. And it is an amazing building. I mean, they have church services there. But people just stop to look at it because the architect was Lloyd Wright, the son of Frank Lloyd Wright. And what they wanted was a building that when you were in it, it kind of erases the line between the inside and the outside. So it's the walls are all glass. About a third of the ceiling is glass. The back, you know, this back wall would be glass, and it looks out on redwood trees. So it almost seems like the redwoods are holding up the building, and then the altar and the floor are made out of this rough stone. So it just, when you're sitting in it, it just looks, it almost feels like you are outside in the beautiful California sunshine overlooking the ocean. It's almost as though there's no building around you. It's this very ethereal type of feeling. And so of the three buildings I mentioned, that's the only one that's still standing, right? The temple in Jerusalem is no longer standing. And Jesus tells his followers that it's not going to be there. They're looking at it and they say, man, isn't this gorgeous? Look at all, you know, Herod the Great, when he expanded the temple, he put all this gold on the outside of it. So they said it was almost blinding when you looked at it. And he made it bigger. He expanded it, not because he was a devout person, not because he was a great Jew, not because he was going to go there and worship, but he wanted to make a name for himself. And he wanted to seem like he was a great Jew. And so he expanded the temple and he just layered on lots of gold and so everybody could look at it and say, wow, isn't that something? And, you know, it's made out of these huge stone blocks. Looks like it's always going to be there. And this is for a people who have been subjugated, for these people who are now an occupied country. This is it. This is their permanent, this is who we are type of place. And it's also kind of a very strong boundary between who's in and who's out. Because if you're a woman, you can go into the outer court. And if you're a man, you can go into the inner court. But you can't go into the very inmost place. Only the priests can do that. So it's very much, you know, like who you are, where you can go, what's going on here. But this is where they believe God is present. God is approachable. And it's their holy place. And Jesus says, it's going away. A day will come, and not one of these stones will be upon another, and it'll be gone. This was not popular. He says it to his followers, but word gets out. It seems like everybody in Jerusalem hears about this, and they're talking. They must be talking about it because in all the Gospels it mentions how this is when people really start saying, we got to get rid of this Jesus fella because, you know, what is this about? He's getting at the very roots of our institutions. And I think about that and I think about the Twin Towers, right? So if, for you know, some of us are post 9/11, some of us are pre-9/11, and I can remember, I guess it was about 1998, family came to visit us when we were living in New Jersey, and so we went to New York City, as you do, and we went to the top of the Twin Towers, which were, you know, for us as Americans, that was the symbol of our economic prowess, right? That we had these huge buildings down in Wall Street, which is like our, you know, that's, what is that? That's our mecca of business, right? So, and here we have these huge towers, and you looked at them, and they looked pretty solid to me. You know, you go up on the top, and you look down, and there are actually small planes flying below you. And when you look out, the most amazing thing is that you're so high up, you could see the curve of the earth. Oh, look at what we've done. Well, not me, but you know, us, America, we've done this. Wow. And when I was standing up there, if you had told me that a plane could run into those towers and they'd come down, I would have said, no way. This is steel. This is concrete. This doesn't come down. And that's how the people in Jerusalem felt when Jesus said, not one stone is going to be on another. They're like, no way. Jesus, you're nuts. And here's the thing, though. The temple came down, but we're still talking about Jesus 2,000 years later. We're still sharing the news. And it's not because everybody hunkered down in the temple and said, hey, this is where God is, this is where it's going on. The temple came down, and the people had to find other ways to meet God, other places to meet God, and it was not a bad thing. They went out, and they shared the good news. Now, I heard about this thing this week, and I know it's dangerous to talk about something you heard in a seminar, but this person, this Bishop Carter, was talking about the 10-10-40-40 problem. And that is that, you know, you can divide the population around you up into 10% of your people who go to church, and they're regular at church, and they come, and that's great. And then you've got another 10%, and they might come at Christmas and Easter. Sometimes we call them Creasters. But we welcome them. We want them to come. We want them to be there and to be with us. And because they know this is their church, this is where they go on the high holy days, and we're glad for them to come. And then you've got 40% of the people who are sure they are never going to come into a church. They've been hurt by the church, or they don't think religion is for them. They're just not going to come. And then you've got another 40%. And they've never been in church. It's totally alien and unfamiliar to them. It's like, I don't know, they do weird things in there. They stand up, they sit down, they drink out of a little cup. It's just, they read off a bulletin or the screen, or, you know, it's just very strange. They are odd people, and I don't know about going in there. And the thing is, we keep fishing out of the 10-10 ponds. And really, where we should be looking is in our 40-40s. Not that they're going to come to us. Not that they're going to come in this building or any other church building. But that we need to go out to them. We still look at our buildings and we say, you know, this is going to last forever, this is going to be permanent, but what really lasts forever is the faith. We come to see Jesus Christ, we come to know Jesus Christ, and that's a forever kind of relationship, and we want to share that with people, not in a this is something that I can remember happening to me when I was a non-Christian. Someone come up to me, have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? That's not the place to start. Too much. Got to unpack that a lot. You got to have a relationship with people. And Jesus tells his folks, he tells them what to do. You know, when things happen, when all of this stuff goes down, when the buildings are toppling, when it looks like everything's got to change and we don't like change, prepare yourself. You know, things are going to happen, but I'll give you the words and the wisdom to deal with it. You know, you will gain your souls through your endurance. If you can stay connected to God through all of this, you will come through it. You will get past it. And so I think about that. I think about how 1 Peter says, you are like living stones and are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And so we're called to this life in which we don't always get to stay in the building, even though, and we do wonderful, you guys, not me, you do wonderful things in this building. You do wonderful ministry from this building, and yet Jesus wasn't about buildings. Trustees, cover your ears. Jesus was not about buildings and bricks and masonry and, dare I say it, boilers. Jesus was about relationship and going out and finding people and having conversations with them that did not begin with, have you been saved? Have you been washed in the blood? But begin with, so, tell me about yourself. And that's kind of where the church is today, that we are not going to, it's not the 1950s anymore. We're not going to attract people. People aren't just going to show up. Well, they may just show up, but they'll probably, you know, less likely than it was back in 1950. And we're thankful for the ones who show up, but we also have to pray and think about the ones who don't know anything about Jesus, don't know that God loves them right down to their toenails. Those are the people who need the good news. Jesus upset folks. It looked like it wasn't going to end well. Sometimes some things have to die in order for resurrection to happen. I think that's what Jesus was really telling his folks. But the good news is we are here and we can share the love of Christ. And I hope that you will, just by being you, by being in conversation, by being in a relationship, and maybe one day saying, you know, there's something that's given me peace in my life. Maybe it could bring some peace to your life too. Amen. Part of me feels like, oh, we just need to go right into prayer. But let's share some joys and concerns before that. I know that we want to be in prayer for Jean Hauf, and she's been in the hospital and since Thursday. And they thought she was doing a little better and they were going to come home, but then she kind of took a turn for the worse. So be in prayer for her, and also, you know, for Stan and for May and the whole family. Do we have other joys or concerns? I know we want to remember the students from the school in California where there was another shooting, and I mean, I know that feels very far away, and yet when I heard that there was a school shooting and we didn't know where, I think about my niece and nephew who go to school in Oxnard, and you think about those kinds of things. So, and we know it's come close, right? Virginia Tech and Virginia Beach and all of those things. So be in prayer for them. Other joys or concerns? Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for being with us. Lord, we ask that you help us to be grateful for all that we have. We have so much, and you have really blessed us. But Lord, we sometimes forget, we sometimes turn away, and I just ask that you would be with us, continuing to help us feel grateful for all that we have. Lord, at this time as we start to enter the holidays, things get busy, things get crazy, but when we forget about you, help us to recenter ourselves, refocus ourselves, and put you at the top of the list so that everything else falls into place. Forgive us when we don't do that. Forgive us when we are distracted, because this world is a distracting place. But help us to let everything fall to where it needs to be. Gracious God, we pray this morning for those who are in need of healing. Lord, we ask that you pour out healing upon them. We pray for those who are in need of healing, whether it's in their bodies or their spirits or their minds, because it's all connected. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you would give them hope in the promise of the resurrection to bring new life. This morning we pray for our first responders, for the police, for sheriffs and deputies, and all of those people who put themselves in harm's way to keep us safe. We pray for them. We pray for our military, for the people who go out and give of themselves so that we might have freedom and safety. Lord, I pray for this church. Lord, build us, make us living stones in your temple so that our lives are a witness to what is possible through the love of Christ. Lord, pray for the ministries of this church, for all that's done here in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.